My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Manual, no one likes traffic. But you are right, in that case, that sucks when it's, you know.
You know, we laughed at, yesterday we laughed at CeeLo for being horrible when it comes to dealing with awkward silence.
Yeah.
I think you may have a little bit. I think if you're not doing something, if your brain is not functioning in some type of capacity.
Except that when I drove with Al, we would have many rides where not one word was spoken.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awkward.
Like, but nothing. It's not, though. Not, very
you're,
comfortable.
You're in a car with another man and you just don't say anything?
I don't know if they were nude. I imagine they were, at least partially nude.
Not just like, hey, how's the kids? Nothing?
I said when he would get in the car, there would be the hello, couple of pleasantries. But once you got going, no. We get into Manhattan the next time we would talk.
I'm agreeing. You never force a conversation. But let me just understand your temperature before I get in the car. Or let's talk about where you're at mentally. Because you may just snap out while you're doing your manual thing. I need to know who's the driver.
Gonna take a quick break. I win this one. When we come back, we will turn our attention to the NFL because a lot happened yesterday.
Yes.
And also we'll get to Daniel Jones, too, with something Willie said a short time ago. And if you'd like to call, 888-808-1019. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Welcome back. Built Ford Tough Studio, NFL in 1 second, but I'm having a conversation with two guys that don't drive 5 speeds in the break here, Fliegelman and Willie.
Jerry doesn't get it.
And they're talking about how they don't want to be distracted with the 5 speed because people are on their phones and people are doing this.
Is that not a legit argument?
It's not.
We are in a world right now.
Here's where it's a legit argument.
Okay.
If you've never driven a 5 speed and you're learning to drive one, yes, you are going to be focused a lot more on what you have to do and when and how you have to shift and
yes.
How and where. All of that is true. But once you learn how to drive one, it is mindless.
It's like more typing. Than ever, the roads are dangerous because...
But not because of 5 speeds.
No, because people are distracted. I feel like people are more distracted than ever on the road these days.
A 5 speed does not distract you. It's like when you learn how to type. When you first start, this would be, a very good comparison.
Okay.
When you learn how to type, the first thing you're doing is usually your 2 pointer fingers.
Uh-huh.
Would you agree? And I'm clicking as TV is rejoining us because I'd really love them to hear this. I would compare the 5 speed to the typewriter. When you learn how to type, it's 2 fingers and it's you're looking and you're thinking and it's 1 letter at a time. Oh, crap, I made a mistake and I get back. Okay. When you become good at typing, it's you're not even thinking. You're just doing
it. I get it. Yeah, I understand. When you get
same
good
concept.
At anything, you turn it becomes second nature. I understand that. But what we were talking about during the break was more than ever right now, even when people listen to us on the radio, people are distracted by cell phones. People are distracted by music. People are distracted about everything and anything that's going on the road. I would feel an extra distraction, even with the ability to drive the car like it's like putting on my shoe. It's just another it's another thing I have to worry about.
But it's not. It's just not.
As Jerry's going to die on this hill. Like he's just in love with operating a car with
his station. I do. No, I do. I've only had, out of all the cars I've had, I've only had a couple that weren't five speeds. And one because one was a pickup truck, and I don't think they made it in a five speed. And I had a Toyota Prius for a while, which I love.
My mother-in-law's car. She loves a Prius.
I got it for the fuel. I mean, my God, that was 52 miles per gallon. I thought I died, went to heaven with all the driving
she's all
I do.
About it. She still has an old Prius.
But other than that, every car I've had has been a five-speed. And I seek them out.
Oh, really?
When it's time
like
to get
a bobble
car.
You just kind of, you waited.
Yeah, to a certain extent, yes. Like, gotcha. I will go wherever I have to go to find one.
Jerry.
Yo,
Zoom. Are you one of these guys that feels like you are a part of the car when you drive the five-speed?
No.
I think you're lying.
It's just the way I like to drive. I don't feel like I'm a part of the car.
No, because I know that's a big part of it, because guys like to be able to, I control it. I'm able to, you know, with the...
No, I like that way of driving. That's all. So, not to belabor the point, guess what? I'm not taking Andy's call. No. I got my two calls. We're Andy, thank you. Willie is not right. I am right on this one. I'm dying on the hill.
Why
and we got to get to the NFL. So
Andy, it's not me.
So just so you know, Andy and Milford
Jerry's
says
in a captain's suit.
Willie's right. I say he's wrong. We move on. I win. All right. So some of the NFL.
Yes.
There was a lot yesterday. Mm-hmm. I'm going to save the Daniel Jones for just a little bit because I wanted to get to something that you were talking about yesterday, and that's the whole situation in Pittsburgh. We're now a week away. Week from today, we start the NFL season. And I heard some Mike Tomlin. The two things of note, obviously, the fact that Russell Wilson's the starter, but also he made it very clear that Justin Fields somehow, some way, is going to play. And I'm wondering, you coached for him. Is he the type of guy that would throw Justin Fields in for a series, a play? Could they use him in a different position in a different way? What do you think is up his sleeve?
Well, we first got to know, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're thin at the receiver position. The wide receiver position. And so I can see them using him in the slot because he has the speed. He definitely has the size. And he's a pure athlete. So I do see them using him as some in another aspect. The problem with it right now is, you know, if he gets hurt, what do you have? Right? That's just logistically thinking. So I understand. I'm happy Mike Tomlin made a decision because from an offensive line standpoint, you need to know who the guy is. There's a chemistry and there's kind of a rhythm you got to kind of get in tune with a quarterback. With that all being said, you know, Russ didn't look good during the preseason. I understand why Tomlin made the move. A little more experience. He seems a little more polished. I think what scared Tomlin about throwing Justin Fields out there is at the end of the day, you know, he was wildly inaccurate and held on to the ball. And if you demote him, then you just all you have is rust. Mm-hmm. At least if you know Justin Fields, you know, valid his footwork needs to still continue to get better. His legs, his ability to run the ball is another weapon for the Steelers. So, I'm happy it's Russ. I just want Russ to play better. I think this is his last chance. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. And he has to be lights out for the Steelers, and hopefully he can pick it up in week one.
Well, what's interesting about that, though, is that he was good last year. I mean, season.
Him and the whole Hackett situation was god-awful.
Weird, and then the injury guarantee thing, where all of a sudden he wasn't going to play. But he did start that middle part of the year. He started to look more like the quarterback we had seen in past seasons.
I loved him. I think it was the game Monday night against Buffalo, where I thought he played his best football, where he looked like Russell Vold. This was his command. A little more sharper, got rid of the football. There's times when you look at Russ, man, I think part of his regression is he'll sit there and pump the ball in the pocket, and the pocket collapse, and he'll just take the sack instead of kind of anticipating throws. And that's one of the biggest things with Justin Fields. He doesn't anticipate the throw. He has to see it to throw it. And, you know, in the NFL, that just doesn't work. You got to understand where the ball needs to be, and you got to get it out early. And I think that's where he's lacking. I think that's ultimately led Mike Tomlin made the decision. I think Russ is just a little more polished right now than Justin Fields.
And then another quarterback decision, and this is relative. While we don't expect them to be a very good team this year, but they are in the Jets division, the Patriots, and it does look like it's going to be Brissett, though Gerard Mayo hasn't mentioned that yet.
Yep.
it seems like he's still getting all the first team reps. And from what I read this morning, it also appears to me that it will be Drake May at some point relatively soon, but just not week one or week two.
Yeah, I mean, the pitchers don't want to make the awful mistake the Jets have year after year and throwing a young quarterback who's just plainly, clearly not ready for the show. But because there's a need at the position, they just kind of throw him out there. But Jacoby Brissett's a pro. He's going to be competent. He's going to be efficient. He's going to do what he needs to do to kind of get the team up and down the field without turning over the ball a million times. And you know, listen, Gerard Mayo, this being his first season, he has to make sure he's putting the team first, which obviously he is. But you're not going to just give it to a young kid who just through the preseason has been up and down. You got to give it to Jacoby Brissett because he steadies the waters, especially with a team that's really trying to find its identity.
All right, and before, I probably should have started with the Jets, but I wanted to ask you about, I don't know if you watch one Jets drive or at least saw the clips, but I've sat here now all week with CeeLo and with you,
yep,
and I believe this is a 12-13 win team. I think this is a team.
I think
team.
We've all, yeah. Well, we said at least three or four games more than what was last year when it was 7-10.
I think more than that. I really do. I could see this team winning 13 games. I think they're that good on paper. I almost expect it, to be quite honest, which might be a mistake, but I do. I tell you,
barring no injury.
Always barring no injury. Yes, staying relatively healthy, which might be a big ask, but that's all we can do is look at the team we have right now that is healthy. The more clips I watch of the one Jets drive, and I know it's a Jet production, but I'll tell you, it makes me feel better and better when I see Aaron Rodgers, the way he is talking it up on the field. They have him mic'd up. You hear him, while it's obviously very playful, he's going back at the defenders on his own team and making throw after throw. And more than that, seeing the catches these guys are making, I don't know. I know the pain. I was with Joe for 5 hours yesterday. I'm well aware. I've known him since 1994.
Was he talking about it on the golf course?
No, we didn't talk about the gym. We actually didn't talk much of anything other than golf, believe
it
or not.
Good.
But I've known him for so long.
Good to know Joe could turn it off.
I understand. Oh, when he's out there, 100%.
Okay.
He turns it off. Almost got turned off for good, but that's coming up. But as bad as it's been, I'm telling you, man, if you can't get excited for this season, and I know people will call up and yell at me, well, I was last year, and what happened on the fourth play?
We got to kind of let that go.
Right.
If we want to, we have to let last year go if we want to be optimistically ready for this season. Because, listen, four snaps, torn Achilles, the season was over within four snaps. It seemed very Jet-esque, but it was a lot that kind of led to the demise. However, they still won seven games with a pretty damn good defense.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, to your point, watching him yesterday have that relationship with Garrett Wilson, kind of chumming it up with the defense, it seems like he's adding a sense of calm the Jets haven't had at that position. Calm meaning that he's going to go into a huddle, and if things aren't going right, he knows how to adjust and fix it. The Jets haven't had that type of leader in a long time.
A really long time.
So it is good to see. But overall, when you talk about what's most important about Aaron Rodgers, that you have to believe at his ripe age of 40, going to be on 42, that he has the ability to put on a cape and win you games solely by himself. The Jets haven't had that in a long time.
Yeah, and
so that's what makes you excited.
And I do think he's capable of it. I said this to Chris the other day. I know he's going to be 41 or whatever, and that's old. But we saw Tom Brady older than that at a very high level, not to mention the fact that while it's because of injury, his body hasn't taken the beating over the last year and a half because he missed all of last season. And I think he's got to feel better for that. So you've got that. Also, the one other thing I would ask the Jet fan, and you know what? Fliegelman, you're a Jet fan. Maybe you're the good one to ask. If you're resigning yourself to misery, and I don't fault you for it at all, given the history and the track record, aren't you afraid you're going to miss the ride when you get there?
No, I'm with you for this year. I know I've only been through pretty much pain as a Jets fan in my life, but if you can't be excited for this season with this team on paper, then what are you doing
as a
fan?
Well, that's the problem, Fliegelman. Like, they've year after year, the Jet fan has been super excited. Like, I mean,
not like this, though. I don't know that you...
But I don't know if they can tell the difference.
Well, no, you can tell the difference. I think in Rex's years, especially coming off that first AFC title game appearance, I think you were fired up the next year. When Bill was here, you got fired up like this for after the Bronco loss in Denver. That next year, I think the Jet fan was fired up. Last season, they were fired up. I think there's a different sense of, are we going to be a good team? Maybe we make the playoffs, or we have a Super Bowl team. But and like, that is not often.
Yeah, but the Joe Beningos of the world, well, they're going to approach this season with tempered expectations.
Fair. All I'm saying is enjoy it, though, because
you can enjoy it.
You don't want to have it bypass you and just be so like watching it like, when's the disaster coming?
I think the average Jet fan or the loyalists out there, like Fliegelman, they will get excited around November when a team is in good standing and looks like they're driving their own car. Then they'll be like, all right, here we go. Now, okay, the ugly is behind us. All right, we look good. We can step in other people's stadiums and look like an outfit that can compete rather than, you're closing your eyes through three quarters. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they can squeeze one out. Like, bad games are going to happen. But when you have a quarterback, you feel like when you either come from behind or win or close out games or have a defense that can close out games, then you're like, all right, then you start talking, bring on Kansas City, those type of talks. The Jets haven't had that in a long time. So it's still everything that's happening like this comes with tempered emotions.
Now you're from here, so you got it. You understood what you were signing up for when you came to play here. Maybe it's a fair question, maybe it's not. The rookies that came in when you were here, I have to imagine most of them didn't know anything about
the Jet
history.
Most of them don't know.
How long did it take?
For
them to understand the magnitude of being a Jet.
And that's, I don't know, most of them, so instance, I had Geno Smith my first year here, and Sheldon Richardson was here. A lot of these guys don't know because they came from winning programs. They don't, they hear it, they see it, they walk the streets of New York and they kind of get the side talk like, hey man, we haven't done this in so long, give us something. It doesn't hit them until the season it's over and they live in a city and they realize like, oh, these people have been miserable. Like, is this,
and now they're a part of it.
Now they're, and then what's the scariest thing, Jared? This is real talk. Another guy who's a prominent Jet and green jacket guy, hopefully a future Hall of Famer. I don't want to out his name, but we had a serious conversation. I think we were at the 4-12 season I was part of, man. And I was at his house and we're kind of watching TV and we're kind of going through the 1-2, just talking. We have a struggling season. I was like, bro, I never felt this in my life, but I feel like the Jets are cursed. And he looked at me. He goes, you can't think like that. He's like,
true.
He goes, if you think like that, then it doesn't matter what you do.
You actually had that feeling.
Because it didn't. Things were happening to me and this team that I never had seen or been a part of. Like, this from the in-the-building stuff, how guys would react to each other, the fighting, the discourse, feeling like even the fact when Jet, I remember when Retz was talking about there's a rat in the locker room. Mm-hmm. You got to understand, so Wednesdays are install days where the coach only address what's going to happen the week of. How are we going to attack the opponent on Sunday? From a mental standpoint, for figures, it's all about Wednesday. I remember Rex on a Wednesday install day where a lot of guys, especially during the season, guys are trying to stay healthy. Everybody has their own individual goal, but collectively as a team, the goal is let's go kick ass on Sunday. Rex spent 30 minutes talking about the media. And I was saying, like, is this real? Like, why are we talking?
In the regards to what? How they're after you? Or
In regards to, like, what should we be saying?
Oh, I got
what shouldn't we be saying? How we should be approaching the media, because the unnecessary attention that we're drawing on ourselves from comments, through different guys, is not helping us be better. And I'm sitting there, this is my first year with the team, and I'm like, we're talking about the media right now?
Yeah.
Like, in Pittsburgh, we just didn't talk about the media. It was like, Mike Tomlin always had a saying, if you're going to write a check on behalf of your own name. Don't write it on behalf of the Steelers. And that was done, right? So, like, don't put yourself or this team in a situation where we have to talk about something you said that now is going to distract us from beating the Patriots or whatever. So it was just a kind of universal law that we now understood. And there was one or two guys who made those mistakes, but they paid for them, right? From in-house or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was confused, like, why? And so it made the media seem like this entity within the locker room, which I'm just like, I don't even care about the media. Like,
you're trying to win games.
I'm trying to win games. Like, you guys, at the time, I'm part of it now, but like, the media does what the media does. We go play football. However they critique is good, bad, or ugly and indifferent, that's your opinion. And it felt like no, we have to watch. And there were certain names in the locker room from a media standpoint where we have to be more visual when they're around us. And I'm just like, I don't care. Like, yeah. I just didn't care. And that's for young guys coming in the locker room. That's what they have to worry about. I don't think they ever had to worry about that in college. And I don't think if they were on another team, they would have to worry about that. It's just it's solely a New York, it's like a New York thing. That's why when you see guys who are willing to come here and play and be a part of what it means, you kind of got to tip your hat to them. Because they, you know, if you're, if let's just say if you're an older guy 10 years in and you want to come to New York, obviously there's life after football that can help you from a branding standpoint, but you also have to, you're marrying the media in the same process. You're not worrying about that if you're going to Kansas City. You're not worried about mm-hmm. that if you're playing for, you know, Seattle. Right? It is, it, this is. You come to Jets, you're marrying the media. And young guys, I think, for especially a lot of guys who have just been me guys, a part of a big program, they've never had to kind of think about that. You come to New York, you have to think about that. It's a part of, it's a part of the brand of being playing in New York.
I have a follow-up to all of that when we come back. We'll have CeeLo as well, and also one staffer here at the radio station almost bit the dust yesterday. All of that and more coming up. It's Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
D-ball.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, almost 7:30. It is the Boomer and Geo program. Willie and Jerry in for the guys. Built Ford Tough Studio on this wonderful Thursday. Been all over the map this morning, and rightly so. I know.
No, I was like, I'm cracking up at the all over the map.
All over the map.
Somebody said to me yesterday that today we should explain to Willie what off-brand Jerry is, and I think that whole stick shift situation
kind of
illustrated it a little bit.
I live for it.
So. I don't. So it all started because I don't want to be like the masses and use an Apple iPhone. I think the iPhone sucks.
I agree with you. That's why I have an Android.
When everyone zigs, he zags.
I'm
all
team
right, so you're with him on that.
Yeah, I'm an Android guy for life.
I have a Samsung Galaxy. How is that off-brand? I'm just curious.
It's the minority.
Well, it's the green bubble thing. Me and my wife go back and forth. She's like, oh, you just have to have an Android because, you know, the green bubble. I was like, I don't give a hell about the green.
It's gotten me out of group texts.
Oh, I'm the same. It has I'm exclusive because of my Android.
It is very true. All right, so there you go. Off-brand Willie, off-brand Jerry.
Yeah,
it's fine.
For sure.
So be it.
You guys are
Kumbaya on that.
And Zoo.
Yeah, today, actually, Fleegs and I are in the minority of the five of us.
Are you iPhone guys?
I'm an iPhone guy,
so yeah. You're a sheep.
I guess.
That's exactly what I always
clearly
say.
Sheep.
That's exactly right. Now, I'm also on the record, which is weird. I think the iPad is the greatest invention ever. I do. I think the iPhone stinks.
Yeah, I disagree.
The iPad is phenomenal.
It's up there. I think the air fryer is up there for me.
Mm.
The air fryer is
amazing. I didn't necessarily mean the greatest invention ever.
But that's what you said.
It's a great piece of technology.
Yeah, but don't look down on the way you just turned your face. Are you not an air fryer guy?
Well, I mean, I consider and say the 747 is the greatest invention. I wasn't going to, kitchen appliances.
Oh.
But fair enough.
Okay.
I have one. We don't use it very often.
Why?
I don't know.
Because it's not a stick shift.
One of these
to
things
it.
You got to plug. No.
Because you can't flip it?
No, because if it's not, if the oven doesn't have the air fryer in it already, like the one we have, you got to plug in, you got to go get just a pain. That's all. It's too much.
I've never heard anybody complain about an air fryer.
It's too much. But you're someone who does things. You're not a sit still, take the easy way out, lazy guy.
You're
a doer.
But it's like we've got the pizza maker that's in the garage. We've got the air fryer in the garage. We've got all these different things. It's like, you just put it in the oven.
Okay.
It's fine. Probably not as good, but put it in the oven. That's all. I'm not saying we don't use it. I just don't use it as often as
you got Willie
like
on
do.
Your side with the Android.
That's
and
it.
Now,
I'm good.
Now you're back
no,
in
no.
the crosshairs here.
That's a win. That's all that matters.
he just bewildered HBK'd me in it. He just got the Shawn Michaels kick in the chin. He put me to sleep.
No, I didn't. Not at all. I love the fact that you're a Galaxy guy.
Oh, yeah. I have people judge me continuously, but I do not care.
Good
I'm
for you.
For
good for us.
Pro air fryer, too. Big
very
air fryer.
Good. Very good. We're brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Well, for the second straight appearance, though, Edwin Diaz was beat.
Diaz ready. The pitch. Swung on. High fly ball. Deep right field. Carroll thinks he got it all, and he did get it all!
That was Diamondbacks Radio. Go-ahead grand slam for Corbin Carroll late last night after Diaz came on with a one-run lead with two outs in the eighth. He walked a couple to load the bases, and then he hangs a slider there to Carroll, deposited over the right field wall, and Arizona goes on to win 8-5 after they had blown a early 4-0 lead. Here's Diaz afterwards. These last two appearances, alarming, and it's not been a good year for him, but he seems to think he can figure it out.
I was struggling early in the season. I was coming from the injury. I didn't pitch in a whole year, but now I know what I have to do to get better, so I got to keep working, keep doing it every single day, and I would be good.
Sooner rather than later would be good.
With a month left.
Yeah.
That quote's fine. The one you played at 6:30 is concerning.
Yeah. I mean, out of the bullpen, fastball command, slider, I'm stepping to third base instead of home.
Well, what makes you question is the forearm really ready? He's like you mentioned, he's coming off the injury list. The forearm is still struggling. How much is that really hurting him coming out of the bullpen?
Well, though, I think the forearm thing might have happened because he's coming back from the knee injury from last year. And you just wonder if, even if he's not conscious
of it. Well,
he
complained about his mechanics. It was all mechanics because of it.
Right. But I'm saying when you go back to the beginning of the season, he hadn't pitched since he got hurt in that World Baseball Classic. And all of a sudden you come back, it's a surgery, maybe you're compensating in other ways, it throws things out of whack, and now all of a sudden you got a mechanics issue leading to ineffectiveness. So maybe it's not
very
that simple, but it's possible. Luis Severino, 4 2/3, 8 hits, couple of homers, 4 runs, a walk, 9 Ks, he took a liner off his foot.
And he was not, while he wasn't great even early, he wasn't horrible. Wasn't very good after that.
Right. He gets a little bit of an injury there with the foot. The x-rays were negative. He did say it was a lot of pain, but expects to take his next turn through the rotation.
Yeah, of course, 100%. There is no doubt. I mean, it's not broken. We're going to see how tomorrow is going to be. Right now, it's just a little bit tough to put some pressure in there because it's fresh.
Mets already down Paul Blackburn. You're going to get Tyler McGill Friday in Chicago, so hopefully Severino's all good.
We make fun of baseball players. How about in the last couple of days, Verdugo almost breaks his body running into the wall.
Breaks his body.
Doesn't skip a beat. You had Volpe, looked like he almost got concussed at second base.
Yep.
Doesn't stay out of the game. You've got this guy, wasn't going to come out of the game. So give some props to guys that are trying to tough it out a little. That's right.
There you go. We'll see what David Peterson can do for the Mets today in the series finale. He's opposed by Ryan Nelson, and the Mets are now four back of the Braves in the wild card race because Atlanta won again 5-1 atop the Twins. We mentioned last hour, Mets reliever Daniel Nunez was unavailable last night, not recovering well between outings. According to Carlos Mendoza, he still got some forearm tightness, so we'll see if he ends up back on the IL. In D.C., things did not go well for Carlos Rodon and the Yankees. Bottom of the first, he balks in a run, and he was incensed coming down from the mound to argue his case.
Is he trying to? I think he was trying to say, I'm having a pitchcom issue. What am I supposed to do? And you step off and say, I'm having a pitchcom issue. That's what you do.
Yeah, you can't. You still have to step off.
I love the baseball 101 there from Rucco and Flaherty. It's like common sense. Hello?
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
He lost it in that moment.
As soon as you're a pitcher and you go to 60-90 when there's leading, you gotta step off.
Correct.
It's pretty basic.
Yep.
But it was a bad spot there. It didn't go well for Rodon. And the Nats also stole four bases off of the Rodon-Austin Wells combo. He gives up 5 runs on 8 hits, a couple of walks, a wild pitch mixed in as well through 5 2/3 as the Yankees fell to Washington 5-2. They dropped the rubber game of that series. So the pitchcom issue for Rodon was legit to the point where he and Wells ended up switching to old school signs.
I just wish I would have got to that groove sooner. It's tough when we're down 5 runs and not really giving the team a chance to a good shot at winning.
So he felt like he pitched better after they got away from the pitch comp.
It was too late.
Exactly.
And this is what you and I talked about like Monday and Tuesday. Who is the Yankees' second starter right now if the playoffs started tomorrow?
I mean,
it'd be Cortes, I guess.
I was going to say, he's been pitching, small sample size last 3-4 weeks, it would be Cortes.
That's the problem. Yeah. That's a small sample size, and the season's not been good. Rodon is so up and down. Yeah, it's interesting. Really is.
Similar offensive issues in this one to Tuesday. Yanks were 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position in the middle game of the series. 1-for-13 last night. Aaron Judge had an RBI single in the 5th. That was it. But our thriving player of the game, Jazz Chisholm Jr.
Jazz Chisholm hits one deep to center field. Back goes Young on the track, out the wall. Oh, she's gone. Adios, amigo. Jazz Chisholm. Over the center field fence, that's more than 400 feet. Smooth Jazz, play that saxophone. Whoa, over the center field wall.
The saxophone.
Sax from Ricky Ricardo. There. Very nice. Jazz 2-for-3 with that homer, a walk, and did not commit an error at third base last night. So he is our Yankees thriving player of the game, brought to you by ThriveWell, New York's premier infusion and injection center. Visit ThriveWellInfusion.com. Yanks are off today. They'll be back home to host the Cardinals tomorrow night in the Bronx. Clark Schmidt, another rehab outing in the minor leagues. 3 innings for Scranton, 1 run allowed. He struck out 5. Both outings have been in that like 3 inning range.
Okay.
I'm curious what their plans are for him. We talked earlier in the week about whether it's sort of a multi-inning role in the bullpen,
yeah,
or if he is going to end up back in the rotation. So that still remains
to be seen.
And Rizzo
is 0-for-2 with 2 strikeouts.
Yeah, and John Birdie's there. It's Rizzo and Birdie are with Somerset, and they had the storms come through, and it suspended that game. I think they might have been out of the game at that point. I'm not entirely sure. But did you get the crazy weather by you last night?
No.
At all? No?
Not that I'm aware of.
Heavy storm ripped through us
what
in
time?
The Freehold area. I want to say 8-ish, something like that.
No.
Shaking the house.
Really?
Didn't lose
shaking
power.
Shaking the house?
Yeah. Well, yesterday we had
like
power issues by us. Really? It was one of those heavy windstorms and electrical. And yeah.
Did not get it.
Well, I guess they did in Somerset.
I guess so. Wow.
Suspended that game. Let's get to some football here. Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, joint presser after setting the 53-man roster for the Giants. Now that the season is upon us, I guess time to put Shane on the spot a little bit.
You know, John Mara talked earlier to us in camp. He said, I want to see significant improvement. So what, like, how do you measure that? What does that look like to you this season?
Yeah, you guys asked him. You guys had a chance to talk to him. He said significant improvement. So you guys talked to the most important person.
What does that mean to you? Did you guys have conversations?
Yeah, again, Dave's not on to approach his job without not saying we want to go out and win.
So we're not putting ourselves in these spots and all these hours to make asses out of ourselves.
So that's why we do all the work, not to come up here and not win games. So that's always going to be the goal.
Like we've been
I don't understand. I get the question, but the goal is to win games, always.
Kind of caught himself there. I don't understand. Oh, I get the question. He clearly was not a fan of the question.
I just feel like we've been, and the media is doing their job because the Giants haven't given us a whole lot, obviously, over the last 10 years or so, but it seems like it's the same questions every single year. Like, and that can go for the Yankees, too. You also feel like they get asked that question, too. What's a successful season? For Derek Jeter, it was always World Series championship or it's a failure, whereas I don't really know that I hear that anymore, but it's the same thing. Just win games. That if I was the one up there, I would sit there and say, if we don't make the playoffs, this is a failure. And I think that's fair.
If you were Shane, you would have said that?
Yeah. If we're not a playoff team, then it's a failure of a season. Like, what else are we doing here?
Well, I think they're just trying to save themselves.
Yeah.
In case
you can save yourself, but I, you know, if the goal is not, I'm not going to sit here and say a Super Bowl championship. That's the goal for everybody, obviously. But you got to get to the postseason first before you can try and take that step. And if you're not focused on that, then what's the point?
Yeah, but I also think they understand what they have, right? Like, you lost Saquon Barkley, right? You have three quarterbacks. Daniel Jones is an enigma at this point. You have Drew Locke and you have Tommy DeVito. Two spots right now that you need them. You need from the offensive side, mm-hmm. you need those positions to be successful. If you feel like you lack confidence in that regard, then you're not going to go out and say that, like, well, we got to get to the second round of playoffs, because you know you may stub your toe along the way, and then the media market, which we just talked about, is going to chew your head off.
Yep.
So they said, I'm not going to give you nothing. We'll see how it happens, and when we get there, then we'll tap ourselves on the shoulder.
Yeah,
but
right
now, I'm not going to feed you things, and then because we know if Joe and Daboll go out there and be like, listen, it's playoffs a bust, and we get to December and they're barely hanging on.
They're
going to
get buried. Yeah,
they're going to get buried.
Well, they're going to get buried either way. They
right,
really
it's
are.
It's different if you set the table.
Nah, yeah, right.
It's different if you set the table.
I guess to me that's if I'm a fan, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear that my team is confident that they should be a playoff team, and if we don't get there, we failed. It doesn't mean you should fire us and we're not making progress. Like, if they're 8-8 going into week 17 and they lose and they don't make the playoffs because of that, but you had a season, yeah, you failed. All right, let's go. Let's take the next step next year.
Yeah, but
now.
You also look at that team last year that was hard to watch on TV.
That was.
If you're not dealing with a culture.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's different if you have a culture like, no, this team will find its way. They have a history of rebounding through the season. That wasn't the case for the Giants under Daboll last year. It was the fact that Daboll would look like he was pissed off. Like, if he could have fired the whole team, he would have. But they trickled through the season. Everybody's like, all right, well, the draft is coming up. Sorry, Saquon. So they're still kind of figuring out who they are and what they are. The strength, like we mentioned yesterday, the strength of the team will be on the defensive side, led by Brian Burns and Dexter Lawrence. But outside of offensively, they still got it. They got some things they got to figure out to answer.
And as we saw in Hard Knocks, the true reality of how they feel about their quarterback room.
Very true.
So
they should have a pissed off quarterback.
Yes, but I think they.
And last time we saw
Shane
that.
And Shane don't want to back themselves in a corner with a quarterback that they obviously don't have a ton of confidence in right now, despite what they might say publicly about.
No, but you know what? As we're talking, there's the scapegoat. If you're not good enough and you don't make it, you move on from him.
Yeah, I thought one of the big... losing Saquon was tough, but letting go of Tyrod Taylor, I thought was... That was like, man, if I would have held on to somebody, just from a safety net standpoint, it would have been Tyrod Taylor.
Let me give you one Daniel Jones before I go, just because we're talking about him. So they tried to talk stats with him. Can he throw some more touchdown passes maybe this season? It's not really been his thing so far in the league. Assuming health, maybe some new career highs. But as we've come to expect from Jones, he doesn't bite when it comes to those type of questions.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been a big stats guy or numbers guy, but...
you know what it means.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, touchdowns are good.
I know what it means. We're trying to score a lot of touchdowns. We're trying to throw them. We're trying to run them. We're trying to score a lot of points.
He's as generic as the...
He is. Well, so is Eli.
Exactly.
I want to hold on to that clip, because at 8 o'clock I want to get into Daniel Jones.
Okay.
That specifically.
Sure, sure.
And also what you talked about prior with Jones. Cool. We'll see you later. Coming up, I'm going to tell you about the staffer that almost bit the dust yesterday.
I can't wait to hear about that.
And it wasn't me, but I will tell you about that next. We'll get to the Giants at 8 o'clock, I promise, as well. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, welcome back inside the Bill Ford Tough Studio. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. CeeLo stuck around because this is a... As much as it's a golf story, it's a WFAN story of sorts. Yesterday, had the pleasure of playing golf with Sal. Everybody knows Sal Licata, Joe Beningo, and Steve Hirsch, who you played golf with about, a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago?
Yeah, maybe.
Earlier. Great guy. Had us out to his club. Had a wonderful time. Joe, by the way, has become a really good player. I mean, I think he had 12 out of 14 fairways.
Wow.
So did a really good job.
Good for Joe.
Sal doesn't play very often at all. Matter of fact, I think it was his first round of golf in 5 years.
Oh, boy.
But I will tell you, 5 years. But he goes to Top Golf and things like that.
Oh, that's not really golf.
When I no, but you can swing the club and it's you can.
I understand.
He's not hitting ground balls. Like he was driving the ball and hitting the ball well.
Oh, okay,
Jerry, so, did he show up with his own clubs?
He did.
He did.
Yes, I didn't think he was going to. He did.
Okay, came
so
through on that. Good.
We get to, and I did post a photo on Twitter of Sal after this wonderful shot he took. So Joe's 71. Joe plays from the senior tees now, which are in some cases not all that much forward from ours. In other cases, could be 30, 40 yards ahead. So in this one particular hole, they were more of the 40 yards ahead of us. So now what is the main goal? What's the main premise of safety in golf, aside from hitting yourself in the face off a tree? Like, if you're playing ahead of another group, what do you not want to do?
Turn your back.
Turn your back.
Yeah.
Or maybe not be ahead of the group behind you that's still teeing off.
Or that.
So Joe is off to the right, maybe 30 yards to the right, and maybe 30 yards up. So he's not near us, but he's ahead of us.
30 yards to the right?
I would say so. Wow. Maybe 20 yards to the right, okay. 30 yards up. So he's ahead of us, but not really near us. So me and Steve tee off, all is fine. And then Sal goes. And Sal hits one off the hosel that was a screaming line drive right at Joe. To where all of us, all three of us, either yelled four, move, or Joe all at the same time, to where he, like the Heisman, he turned, he put his hand in front of his face, leg up, and this ball missed his leg. Could have hit him in the chest. It was another foot higher or 2 feet higher.
God.
And hit the side of the golf cart and just ricocheted left. That's very good,
too. Tell you what, not that you're rude for Joe to get injured, but it would have probably taken you off the hook from your mishap.
It would have taken me off the hook. I am telling you, it missed him by 2 inches, three. Wow. It was.
Did he jump up cussing?
My bad. What do I know?
No. The, okay. The amazing thing was, he goes, "I'm good." Didn't hit me, and then goes up and hits a seed down the middle. It was unbelievable. But all I'm thinking is, how many years I've played? And he almost got another hole in one. Oh, by the way,
but that would have been four for him.
Would have been four. He missed by like 3 or 4 feet.
He has three hole in ones.
He does
on his belt.
He does, which is pretty impressive.
I don't know how. It's amazing.
Has he ever won a Porsche or a car because of it?
Well, no, I think it's happened in regular rounds, not in tournaments, where they have the big prize.
My, I remember 1 year we had my golf tournament, which happens in June, and we had a guy, we had a Porsche. Porsche was sponsoring one of the holes, and we had a guy get a hole in one. I swear to God, and it
really?
Was the, jumped in the Porsche right at, like, after he hit the hole in one, knew he won the hole in one and won the Porsche. Jumped in it and drove off the course. Didn't finish the rest of the round.
Who knew? I don't think I would either.
And I can remember vividly, we're like seeing him kind of weave through the course, and everybody stopped. Just like, this guy just won it.
Wow!
And then poor sponsors weren't too happy with that.
Because they don't expect to actually lose the car.
Nobody is.
And I wonder in that case if they have the insurance, because I would think most do, right?
Yeah, they had to. Yeah.
All right. So in that case, they didn't lose too much, but they lost the car.
Yeah, and I remember, you know. Just the not only the joy, but everybody else that watched him win this Porsche hate him. Like it was jealous. Like everybody was just like, you know, this guy can eat it.
I'm not gonna lie to you. When Joe the par three that he almost got the hole in one in, when the ball was in the air, and I think one of the guys said, "That might be a hole in one." I think I let out a audible groan.
See,
of course it is. Like, why not? Yeah. He's already got three. How about a fourth?
Sure.
So yeah, he came very close, and then quickly, Sal looked like. It looked like he did manual labor for 40 hours by the 13th or 14th hole.
I'm the pro!
with shots, Sal like, seems like he's in shape to me.
He is, but I don't... Like, if you don't is walk
he?
A golf
course... Well, he seems like he's a CrossFit guy. Oh, he takes a class from
no,
there to there.
No. But he does
eat... I love how both of your faces are like...
No, because he doesn't. He doesn't really... When he gets into his routines, he does. Right now, he's not in one. But he does eat relatively well. Yeah. So he is in shape, especially when you look at... society. He's
yeah.
Doing
I'm not
quite
saying
well.
He's like overweight or anything.
But if you don't walk a golf course often,
or just do any sort of,
it's a lot.
Yeah, the hills,
activity,
the ups and downs, it'll wear you out.
That had to have been yesterday, 6-7 miles,
and it was hot.
Had to have been.
It was a steamy
wasn't
day.
As bad as you think. Right. It was breezy.
Maybe it's for us fat guys, it felt like we was in
the
sun.
So when the sun came out, it was blistering hot.
Okay,
but when the cloud, there was enough of a breeze. When the clouds came out, it was beautiful. But you're right, there were spells where it was like, oof.
Yeah, it is hot.
Everything's sweating. So it was.
So did
a
you
fun
think
day.
You were going to lose Sal at some point in the day? Like he was going to walk off the course?
Kiss my ass.
we did lose Sal. He did skip a couple of holes.
Okay.
He needed a break.
You didn't judge him, did you?
He went, no, not at all. We were going to the 17th tee. He goes, are we on 16? And Steve goes, no, this is 17. He goes, oh, thank God. Because at that point, he had had enough.
And what's he going to do today? Turn around and play again with you.
I'm playing again with him.
Okay.
So it should be a lot of fun.
Cards today, perhaps?
And we're going to try not to. It depends on the course. We had the option yesterday. I wanted to walk. So
yeah, see, the walking doesn't
bother
me.
That's your problem.
Yeah, it turned out to be yours because you walked with us.
Especially if you don't have to carry your clubs, right? You guys had them in a cart, correct?
Correct.
The clubs.
Yes.
You're just walking yourselves. You're not carrying any weight. Yeah,
no.
I mean,
they were in a cart and we had caddies, which was nice.
To be able to walk a golf course, that's not that complicated.
It was up and down and it was hot. So
what?
Well, I'm just trying. I don't know. He never does it. I'm just trying.
He was with 71-year-old Joe Beningo who did it.
Joe Rode.
Oh.
You can't handle that? I don't know what to tell you.
Well, tell yourself.
Get lost.
He might be exhausted today.
So might be.
We shall
Sounds
see.
Sounds like he's already.
He was pretty tired yesterday.
Oh, boy.
So we shall see. Anyway, Joe is alive and well. Everything went good, and he played very well, and we had a good day. So.
Excellent. Oh, I wish you another good one today, Jerry. And a hole-in-one for you
this
time.
We'll do our best. You know what? That's like Joe with the Jets. I feel like that's never happening.
Probably not.
It just doesn't.
I'm right there with you.
As good as shots I've had, never happening. The demise of Joe. All right, when we come back, I have some questions for Willie in regards to, I want one follow-up on what you were talking about with the Jets. I want to ask you that. And then also, I want to get to this Daniel Jones thing and the Giants, all of that and more. And if you want to call 888-808-1019, it is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!